One, two, three, four.
Song Salad.
With Shannon and Scott.
Hey, it's Song Salad.
Whoa.
Just trying something new.
I hate it.
All right, I'll undo. Reverse. Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're...
Hey, Song Salad.
No, we're not talking to Song Salad. We are Song Salad.
It's like, good morning, Vietnam.
I was just going to say, good morning, Song Salad.
Where, like, our listeners are as much Song Salad as we are.
Oh, is that what it is?
I feel like we have a community now, and I feel like that community is like, you know, we can all consider ourselves Song Salad.
I thought that's what vegetarian did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, vegetarians.
Hey, vegetarians. It's Shannon and Scott. Why are you trying something new now? We're almost at 100 episodes.
Maybe that's why. Maybe I'm like, you know, we're riding this train up to... Episode 100, and it's, yeah, just time for a fresh start. Add some new herbs and spices to the blend of the dressing.
The blend of the dressing. This metaphor is not tortured at all. Anyway, what are we even doing here on Song Salad?
Well, the traditional Song Salad is that we take a...
Song Salad classic.
Song Salad classic. OG Song Salad. We take a random topic from Wikipedia... And a random genre of music from our produce section.
We do.
And we mash them up into a random song.
We do.
We do.
We do. And we do that by spinning the salad spinner to get our random topic and genre. And the salad spinner is a noise or a sound effect or something submitted by you, our loyal vegetarians. And we have a bunch. We have a couple lists from some people.
We've got a little list.
Thank you. What was your name?
Poopo? Coco. Poopo. That classic Gilbert and Sullivan character, Poopo.
Okay, like anything else in the Mikado is actually better than Poopo.
Well, there is a character named...
Nanky Poo.
Nanky Poo.
Okay, come on. Poopo was...
Who we always called Stanky Poo.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course. How they didn't see that coming.
I was Coco, and he's got a little list.
He has got a little list. And on our little list today is a salad spinner from Claire Dixon.
Yes.
At Claire underscore Dixon.
She sent us a screenshot of... like a notes page from her phone where she had just been compiling salad spinner suggestions. And one of them at the bottom talks about, like, you know, where she was when she was writing it.
Yeah, so, it's very good.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's great.
But the one we're going to do this week is
cat being a dog. Cat being a dog.
And
dog
being
a cat.
So Shannon will do one and I'll do the other.
Yes. Your cat barked the other day.
Yes, apparently. I wasn't home when this happened.
Yeah, Megan, it is on Megan's testimony that your cat barked.
So Ellis usually kind of chirps instead of meowing. He's like, he does a little like kind of thing, like a dove.
like dubstep.
And there was one day when I heard Ellis like running down the hallway, chirping with his mouth open. So it sounded like... And I guess it's probably similar to what Megan heard, which was like a short, sharp, like, from him.
Do you want to be your cat being a dog for the salad spinner?
I kind of feel like I just did, but...
You did, but make it official.
I'll make it official.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my cat being a dog. Scooby-dooby-doo!
Great. Spin.
Spin. Our genre this week...
is two-tone!
Two-tone. Not one-tone.
Two.
Two-tones. You get double the tones this week.
Double the tones, same price. Also, thank you this week again to Sarah Brown, our loyal vegetarian, who told us that randomized range is back on Google Sheets for no goddamn reason.
So I had lunch with Josh Jelen and I talked to them about this.
Did you?
And he said, you know, that whole the whole instance of randomized range disappearing and reappearing about 4 days later is like an exact representation of what it's like to work at Google. It's like there's like no accountability for what functions are existing at any given moment, and they just kind of like come and go as they please.
Yeah, great. So. Well, hopefully Josh John doesn't mind you sharing that with the internet.
Whoops.
Oops. But yeah, so thank you, Sarah, for letting us know that randomized range is back and it's still easy to use.
But anyway, two-tone is a genre of British music that fuses traditional ska with musical elements of punk rock. Its name comes from Two-Tone Records, a label founded by Jerry Dammers of The Specials, and references a desire to transcend and diffuse racial tensions in the Thatcher... Oh my God, I can't tell. I'm really tired. I took a red eye in from Seattle last night.
You did. Do you want me to do it?
And diffuse racial tensions in Thatcher-era Britain. And I started tripping over my words because I was looking at the word diffuse, thinking, shouldn't it be spelled D-I-F-F-U-S-E?
That's diffuse. So diffuse and diffuse. So defuse means to unfuse something. And diffuse means... to like spread and scatter, yes, if something is diffuse.
Okay, great. Although Two-Tone's mainstream commercial appeal was largely limited to the UK, it influenced the North American ska punk movement, also known as third wave ska, in the 1980s and 1990s. And we haven't done ska punk or third wave ska before. We've just done regular old ska and the precursors to ska, like reggae and rocksteady.
And we've done post-punk.
Post-punk, yes, but not related to ska.
Right. Yeah. This is interesting because I think it picks up from Jamaican music a social and political bent.
Mm-hmm.
So it was created by young musicians in Coventry, England, and West Midlands, England, who grew up hearing 1960s Jamaican music. And mm-hmm. we have done like Jamaican reggae and mm-hmm. rocksteady. And they are very much politically and social justice-y focused genres. Bands considered to be part of the genre are The Specials, as we've already talked about, The Selector, The Beat, Madness, Bad Manners, The Body Snatchers, and the, oh my goodness.
Acrylics?
The Acrylics. But all the things you think should be vowels are just Y's, except
Y's
for the first
vowels.
One. Yeah, well, sometimes.
The term two-tone was coined by The Specials keyboard player Jerry Dammers, who, with the assistance of Horace Panter and graphic designer John Teflon Sims, what a great name, created the iconic Walt Jabsco logo, which is a man in a black suit, white shirt, black tie, pork pie hat, white socks, and black loafers to represent the two-tone genre. The logo is based on an early album cover photo of Peter Tosh and included an added black and white check pattern. So I guess, you know, multiple bands and artists that consider themselves two-tone artists all use this same logo and black and white checker pattern on their albums to make them immediately recognizable.
Most of the bands considered to be part of two-tone were signed to Two-Tone Records at some point. So maybe it was like the logo of the label. And then other record labels associated with the two-tone sound were Stiff Records and Go Feet Records. And the music was especially popular among skinheads, rooties, and mod revivalists.
Not those skinheads.
We've talked about this before, I believe, in our reggae and rocksteady episodes. Uh-huh. Skinheads and rooties are like rude boys.
Time for all the rooties.
Yes, exactly. And mod revivalists. So that would be like the 1960s mod era movement. Right. Revivalists. So people that just didn't want to let it go.
Yeah, revived in the late 70s when the genre really took shape.
Yes.
So cool. Typical instruments used in two-tone are guitar, bass, organ, trumpet, trombone, saxophone, and drums. Pretty much the same ensemble you'd find in a ska band. But I'm interested to listen to some examples and hear how punk they go.
Yeah, and I'm going to try to look up some more lyrics. I mean, clearly it has a social bent, but I want to hear how much of it that's true.
How much of it that's true.
English is my first language and you wouldn't know.
I think we should try to find a song by The Specials.
Yeah,
because they are considered the founders of the genre. Our example this week is going to be Ghost Town by The Specials from 1981.
We'll be right back.
This song is cool.
I really like this song.
This is really cool. And I like that we can hear in, you know, the part of the example that I played for you, that overlap between what you think of as more traditional ska, like beat, but with the punk elements of that, like kind of high-pitched singing that comes in the second half that feels like British punk bands that we've referenced before.
Definitely. The lyrics address urban decay and deindustrialization, unemployment, violence in the inner cities. And some of the lyrics, just because it's kind of hard to hear them when they're just being played in the song, but this town is coming like a ghost town. Why must the youth fight against themselves? Government leaving the youth on the shelf. This place coming like a ghost town. No job to be found in this country. Can't go on no more. People getting angry.
Yeah.
And there was also a music critic, Joanne Green, notes that the lyrics only brush on the causes for this apocalyptic vision, the closed down clubs, fights on the dance floor, spiraling unemployment, and anger building to explosive levels. But so embedded were these in the British psyche that Dammers, the lead singer, needed only a minimum of words to paint his picture.
Mm. I think Dammers was the keyboard player and the songwriter.
Actually. He was the keyboard? Oh.
And the guy that wrote the song.
Well, fine.
Yeah. This was the single of the year, according to all three of the major UK music magazines in 1981. And the last song recorded by the original seven members of the group, the Specials, before they split up.
Dammers talks about he wanted the overall sense he wanted to convey was pending doom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bummer, man. And yeah, so this was just based on their real experience of this kind of really tense time in British, like, middle lower class England.
Billy Elliot times.
It was the Billy Elliot times.
Dance, Billy!
Is that a line?
Yes.
Really?
It's like the most famous line from the movie.
Oh, is it?
Dance, Billy! I used to watch that movie like weekly. I love that movie.
Really?
It's so good.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
It's so good. Much better than the musical.
Mm. Womp womp.
Yep.
So I think we kind of get it.
We gotta get it.
It's like a little, like, we're gonna need to listen to a lot more to see in what ways punk kind of comes into play, because it sounds to my ear a lot more like ska and reggae and rocksteady. Yeah.
I think maybe the punk side of it is less in the musical sound than it is in the attitude of the lyrics and the bands themselves, and just like the giving themselves permission to break out of traditional ska forms and harmonic structures and things. Like, you heard in this song, there's a lot of darker diminished chords and like more kind of recorded effects and things going into it, which is probably what they consider the punk side of it, like rebelling against traditional ska.
Well, we'll see how well we can pull it off depending on what the topic is.
And now Shannon will be a dog being a cat.
Right. A dog being a cat.
To get our topic.
All right. Are you ready for my dog being a cat? Woof.
That was very good. In case you couldn't hear, Shannon knocked something off of my dresser and said woof.
Sassily. Yeah.
It's been...
Giddyville.
Rancheria.
it's not
Italian, but...
That was Spanish.
Giddyville Rancheria of California is our topic.
Okay.
The Giddyville Rancheria of California are a Pomo tribe located in Mendocino County, California.
Okay, so a Native American tribe.
Sounds like it.
During the California Gold Rush, an influx of non-Indian settlers drove the Giddyville Pomos.
We need to look up how to pronounce this word. Giddyville
Pomos from their ancestral lands near Lake County, California, into Mendocino County. The U.S. government sent commissioners to negotiate treaties with the tribe in 1851. Hmm. Although the Giddyville Band, among other Pomo bands, ceded their ancestral lands, the U.S. Congress did not ratify the treaties, and the Giddyville... Of course not. The Giddyville never received their promised treaty lands.
Oh, my God.
Isn't this literally what the term Indian giver means?
Yes.
Like, you like it has been turned around and used to be derogatory toward Native Americans, but literally it's because the government was like, we're gonna do this for you.
You get some treaty lands.
And then never did it. No.
Well, the treaties were locked away in Washington, D.C. and not rediscovered until the 20th century.
Oh my God.
In the meantime, the Giddyville Band was left landless.
Between the years of 1909 and 1915, the federal government purchased small parcels of land for homeless California Indians called rancherias.
Oh.
The Giddyville Rancheria did not have the water or infrastructure for subsistence.
Wow.
Disease and harsh conditions resulted in early death for members of the band. Those that could travel to the Bay Area for work. Other tribal members picked hops or fruit as migrant farm workers.
During the Indian termination policy, the federal government unilaterally terminated the status of the Giddyville Rancheria in 1958. Their trust lands were sold to private owners. In 1987, the tribe successfully sued the U.S. government for wrongful termination.
Hey, hey.
Well, that's good. In 1991, the combined Scotts Valley-Giddyville federal lawsuit was settled, paving the way for the tribe to reorganize.
The tribe today. The tribe received federal recognition in 1992. They have obtained a 44-acre parcel of land located 2 miles to the east of Ukiah, California.
Today, the tribe is headquartered in Talmadge, California. The tribe is governed by an elected council headed by a chairperson. Merlene Sanchez is currently serving as tribal chairperson. Oh, boy.
Well, if we wanted a topic where we can talk about how the government disenfranchised and hurt the common person, it's pretty accurate.
Feels like Wikipedia was listening to us.
Yeah. I mean, it probably is.
Probably is.
Yeah.
Well, this sucks for this rancheria.
Yeah. This poor tribe of people chased off their land, then tricked out of getting any land. And then
given crappy land,
and then had that taken away,
but then sued and got some new land in a different place.
You know, it only took 150 years.
Literally.
NBD.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Poor people. Well,
we
can write a two-tone song to right the wrongs of our own government.
If only we could.
What better way than through art to express disdain?
I don't know. Maybe through legislation. that might be helpful.
If we can't have legislation, then art is
Let's
the next best thing.
Let's whine about it. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to do a little bit more research into lyrics and see if there's any common structures or anything like that.
Cool. Please find out how to pronounce Giddyville.
I will do my best. It's spelled Giddiville.
That's too many I's.
Giddyville. Guidiville. Guidiville.
Guidiville. Guidiville.
Yeah. Not sure.
All right. And I'm going to start putting together my band and listen to a couple more examples to see if I can get any other more specific punk references in the music to throw in.
Cool. Let's meet back here.
I'm not going anywhere.
Well, I'm leaving.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Skankin'.
Are you skanking?
Skanking.
Yeah. Skankin'.
I got my band together.
It's a skankable beat.
It's skankable. You can totally skank to it.
Tell
it's
me.
It's a dark, moody skank.
Okay, so like Ghost Town.
Like Ghost Town.
Okay.
But not as Halloween-y, dramatic as Ghost Town. Just it's in a minor key. And
cool.
It's got that kind of like a little bit of distortion on the organ and the guitar just to give it that edge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I got some horns going on. I got a funky bass line. And on the vocals, when we record them, after you tell me what your lyrics are, there's a lot of reverb and that plate reverb that a lot of punk bands used in, especially in Britain at that time, that gives it that almost distant ringing sound in the vocals.
Okay.
And vocal style, as we heard in the example too, especially in the second half, that almost ununderstandable,
unintelligible,
unintelligible, and very drawn out vowels and not clear consonants, and
kind of petulant.
Yeah,
yeah,
which is that punk vibe of I'm just gonna sing it and I don't care.
Yes, sure.
Margaret Thatcher.
So I have some more information about, first of all, about all the bands that we looked up. And I don't know, I don't think this was like necessarily 100% universal, but a lot of the bands were actually like multiracial. They had black members and white members. And that's
what
actually
a concept.
Well, but like, if you think about it, like, think about any other genre where we like saw mixed race musicians playing together.
Like hardly any.
Yeah, like almost hardly any. Seriously.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a unique thing for Two Tone. And it was almost like the entire idea of Two Tone was like, let's bridge the gap between racial tensions.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
at that time, a lot of immigrants from the Caribbean were moving to the UK and were
gotcha.
Moving into neighborhoods and scaring all the white people, basically, because that's what always happens with white people.
Yep.
So this was in direct response to that. And that was cool. And that was not something that we actually, that the Wikipedia page called out until we started looking at videos and pictures of the bands. And it was very obvious. Found out more stuff about Guideville.
Guideville.
Yeah. Guideville Rancheria of California.
Okay.
So Guideville doesn't really actually have anything to do with the Native American tribes.
It's just Pomo.
Yeah, Pomo. And it's actually a collection of a bunch of different related tribes of Northern California who kind of united under this because they were all like forced out together, basically.
Same problems.
Yes. And now they actually have this Black Oak Development, which is a federal corporation of the Guideville Indian Rancheria.
Huh.
And they have a Native American Contractors Association as a way to earn money for the rancheria. Is they have all these like businesses now that they can kind of use as like they are the corporation that owns all these businesses.
Gotcha.
In order to enrich the community. So it's pretty cool. And they do like sustainable engineering and design.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, sucks that they had to go through everything they went through to get to this place, but
it still seems like things aren't super great for this particular population, and they just have like a lot of the land that they're on is impoverished and is not like well set up with infrastructure.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what became your song concept?
Oh, yeah. So what became my song concept is
Rancheria.
Oh, I forgot we did that with Ranchero, didn't we?
Ranchero. Ranchero.
Yeah, I don't know what we did.
Antonio Abanderas.
A banana?
Abanderas.
Antonio Abanderas. I am Antonio from Banana.
Antonio de Banana.
Wait, how do you say banana in Spanish?
Banana.
Okay. Just making sure.
Pretty sure. Wait, now I'm second guessing myself.
Probably.
It can't be anything else. I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Song concept.
Yes, the song concept is from the perspective of the Pomo Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of just lamentation, I guess, of their situation at the mercy of the U.S. government.
Gotcha.
And I looked up a bunch of different songs, and they really vary wildly in structure. So there wasn't like one particular structure that I was copying, but it does seem that like the verses are pretty long and kind of drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
And while they may have a chorus that repeats, it's not like a long chorus usually.
Right.
It's like one or two lines, just like a hook that kind of like comes back and separates the verses.
Yeah, there was one song by The Specials.
Gangsters?
Thinking of Too Much Too Young.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole hook of it is just like, too young, too much, too young, too young, too much, too young. Just like that over and over.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of songs that had a repetitive element to them. But I kind of like bridged the two, like you'll hear there is some repetition of like the hook slash chorus, but the verses are different, even though the verses have the same structure. And then I kind of ended on like a little like repeated thing that we could like repeat and fade out, which it seems like some of these also do
a little background vocal help.
Yes, yep. Exactly. Cool. All right. So here we go.
Oh, one last thing before you do this is that a lot of the bands we found had female singers too.
They did.
Which is great.
They did. Yeah, it was cool.
Shannon and I will both sing this one.
Woohoo. Okay.
Go ahead.
Where do you go when there's no place to go to? Where do you go when you're gone? Leaves on the wind, we blow without knowing. ways we can keep moving on. Chorus. Oh, don't they know they send us to our doom? Hearts and minds so small in a land full of room. How do you sleep when there's no bed to lie in? How do you sleep knowing there's no dawn? Uprooted and exiled, lost to ourselves now. How do we keep going on? Oh, don't they know they send us to our doom? Hearts and minds so small in a land full of room. Oh, don't send us to our doom.
Oof.
I know. It's not...
not our most fun episode of Song Salad.
Certainly not. But
hey, Song Salad!
Hey, Song Salad! But we got a serious topic, and we got a genre that could kind of support it.
Yeah, exactly. When in Rome.
When in Guideville. So, that's the song.
That's good.
What should we call it?
What is it? A Land of Room?
Land Full of Room?
A Land Full of Room by Tommy Wiseau.
Don't mention it. He'll do it.
He will.
He will do it.
Yeah, Land Full of Room.
Land Full of Room.
A two-tone song.
About the Guideville Rancheria.
By Shannon and Scott.
Where do you go when there's no place to go to? Where do you go when you're gone? Leaves on the wind, we blow without knowing ways we can keep moving on. Oh, don't they know they send us to our doom? Hearts and minds so small in the land full of room. How do you sleep when there's no bed to lie in? How do you sleep knowing there's no dawn? Uprooted and exiled, lost to ourselves now, how can we keep going on? Oh, don't they know they send us to our doom? Hearts and minds so small in the land full of room.
Warming up.
Warming up your outro lips.
Warming up my articulators.
Ooh.
The lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue. Ah, ha, 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 ha.
So that was Land Full of Room.
Land Full of Room.
A very serious song.
It was pretty dark.
Pretty dark.
It was pretty dark.
Topic and genre wise.
But I thought you did a good job of making the perpiness of the horns.
Not
like
fun.
Yeah, like ominous.
Ominous Perpiness.
They were ominous.
Ominous Perpiness is a great band name.
Ominous Perpiness. Alleluia, alleluia, ominous
Perpiness. Oh, man.
Anyway. That was two-tone.
Quite a contrast from last week's episode.
Yes.
The Doggies featuring Judy Collins.
Yes. Our dubstep episode, or dovestep, or dopestep, depending
however,
on
whatever step you like,
whatever one. Yeah, good job this week, Boo.
You too.
Thanks,
Boo. If you like Two Tone and Guideville Rancheria, then you might like our other episodes.
Yeah,
you should check out our back catalog, available at songsaladpodcast.com and on SoundCloud and on iTunes and all the podcast apps you've come to know and love throughout your many years on this planet. And
we have a Facebook group.
We have a produce section on Facebook.
Yes.
Song Salad Podcast, the produce section.
It's great. If you request to join, we will add you. It's so much more fun to talk to people not on Twitter.
That's very true.
Not that we won't keep our Twitter going.
Oh, yeah.
We certainly will. But it's also just nice to be able to like comment on things and like everybody can see them, and it's just, and share pictures. It's just so much easier. So join our Facebook group. We are super happy to have everyone over in our weird little community.
Join us. One of us. Perpiness.
Gobble.
Fried chicken and okay.
No one has solved the fried chicken mystery. I'm pretty sure it was a jingle from like Popeyes or something in like the early days of
in
Popeyes.
The early aughts.
Yeah. But like, I don't know where I heard it. I think it was on a podcast. I don't know. My whole personality has just become podcasts now. So
yeah,
it's kind of hard to separate. Thanks very much for being one of our listeners. If you have song salad, every time. If you have salad spinner suggestions, get at us on Twitter or in the Facebook group, or you can email us at songsaladpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you're feeling generous, you can become a Patreon donor.
Yes.
Patreon.com/songsalad. Get access to exclusive bonus content and bloopers, bontent, and bloops.
Mostly it's just us being idiots.
Yeah,
pretty much. just more of the same.
More of the same.
Really. Yes.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together
we are
Ominous Purpinous.
1, 2, 3, 4.